You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Brain, football is mighty rough. Winning gets awfully tough, but we're rooting for the Dolphins. The same old Dolphins.
We're used to it at this point.
Yeah, this is how it goes. Miami Dolphins lose 21-14 in Germany to the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is the third loss of the season. We're sitting there at 6-3, thanks to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Dolphins are still in first place in the AFC. In the AFC East, so they're going into a bye as the first place team in the AFC East. So it's not all bad. It's not all doom and gloom. The sky is not falling. The walls are not closing in on us. But man, three losses so far this season, and I think this is the most pissed off that I've been. I am not happy with this Miami Dolphin football team after that performance on Sunday. And look, I want to say this right off the bat for those of you who might be joining us for the first time. Welcome. Welcome in. By the way, hit the like button or the thumbs up if you're on YouTube. We appreciate it. If you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, smash that like button, that thumbs up. If you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, thank you. Go ahead and smash that like button. Share it with your friends. Follow us on Twitter, Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Because here's the thing, right? What we're going to respond to is about this game on Sunday. And there's going to be some bigger picture issues that we're going to discuss today as well. But it's important to put everything in context because some people are going to jump in and be like, how could you be so negative? How could you blah, 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 blah. Listen. 9 games have been played. There are 8 games left to be played. There's a whole lot of football left to be played. And as I just said, the Miami Dolphins are in first place in the AFC East. So it's not all terrible. But you have to react to, there are certain things that we've been kind of blowing the whistle on that we've been worried about, and they have appeared yet again. And so we're going to talk about them. We're going to discuss, we're going to vent, and then we're going to move on. Because this is the reaction show. So we're going to react. And as part of that reaction, well, you know what? Let's do this first. Let's dive right in. Let's check our pulse.
You check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It's time once again for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where we ask you to share one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now. What is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now? And I'm going to be very upfront with you. My one word, Brain, right now, I'm annoyed. That's what I am with this team right now. And I'm going to tell you why. The Dolphins went to Buffalo earlier this season, and they got their doors blown off by the Buffalo Bills. That's going to happen, right? It's a buzzsaw game. You had just put up a 70 burger on the Denver Broncos. You went on the road to a Buffalo team that it was not excited about the prospect of losing their grasp on the AFC East. And they had a point to prove, and they went out there and they proved it to you in their own backyard. They just completely blew the doors off you. Okay. That's fine. That is what it is. That sort of thing is going to happen sometimes in the National Football League. A couple weeks ago, the Miami Dolphins went to Philadelphia, the NFC champions, in their house on Sunday Night Football. And you went out there and you were outplayed. You were beaten by the better team that day. And yes, there were some other issues. I'm not a blame the refs guy, but that was a pretty poorly officiated game, I think, to say fairly. But you went out there and you were beaten by a better team. And as much as they beat you, you still had an opportunity to make some things happen in that game. Things didn't quite go your way. You fell short. It's okay. It happens. This game against the Kansas City Chiefs that you lost 21-14 in Germany, this is the worst one of all. And I'm annoyed because you went there. If you had played even, let's just say, average football for the first half of that game, if you had just put in an average effort, you win this game. You win the game. But you go out there and you're completely unprepared. You're a complete mess. You're not in sync. You're sloppy. The play calling was poor. Your star player let you down, dropping key passes, giving up a huge fumble. It was just a sloppy, horrible mess. Yes, you come out in the second half, you make your adjustments, and you play well in the second half, and you get yourself back in that game. And then, all things considered, you end up with, if it's not for the fact that you completely choke on the final four plays of the game, perhaps you're right there with an opportunity to tie the game or perhaps win it with a two-point conversion. But, you know, those last two plays in particular were pretty bad. So even with a complete zero in the first half, you were still right there at the end of the game. And so it's annoying that as this team keeps going through, as they keep going forward, that we keep finding ourselves in this place where when we're on the big stage against the biggest teams, we can't seem to put it together. And that's what's so annoying to me, because it's right there. And I think what's the most annoying about all of this, and we're going to get into it, we're going to talk about big picture stuff, right? As he said at the beginning, the season isn't over. The season didn't end after this last game, right? We go on. We've got 8 games left. A lot of football left to play. But the fact of the matter is that this game on Sunday, where you laid an egg for the first 30 minutes of the game, has enormous consequences down the line. And for a team that struggles for whatever reason to play on the road and to be away from your home stadium against tough teams, because of the fact that you laid an egg in the first half of this game, you are now facing a situation where down the line, because yeah, you're going to beat up on some of those teams. The way the schedule lays out is if you can take care of business, you're still going to pretty easily win 11, 12 games at the very least. If you can take care of business, right? Against the lesser teams, the bad teams. If you can take care of business against them, you're still going to end up where you need to be. And you'll have the opportunity to play those games later on in the season when all the chips are on the table. But when you had the opportunity to make sure that those games were played in environments that were going to be preferable to you, you dropped the ball in that opportunity. And I'm not saying that you're not going to get that opportunity back, but man, it's sure going to be tough. It's sure going to be tough. So I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. That's my pulse check. Brain, we're going to get to yours in a minute, but we heard from the people, and I'm sure we've got some in the comments here, but we'll go to the Twitter machine first. Aberdeen, Washington says their word is pain. Trevor says optimistic. CERN says malaise. Doc Ariok says disappointed. Jay Arich says perseverance. Daniel says predictable. Samuel Lolfin says miffed. Big Earn McDolphin says growth. Nick Goodwin says duped. Mike at Dolphins Talk says dumbfounded. Nandito says deflated. Dolphin Dumpy says whatever. Bane Lives says exhausted. Giancarlo Bland says frustrated. Mark Berger, disappointment. Adam Schultz, fraudulent. Nick, tired. John D, pessimism. Sorry. Jason Bloom says, eh. Jason Freeman says, disappointed. Jordan Murray is irritated. Dolphins end zone says, frauds. Brain, how do you feel?
A lot of words came to mind when I was thinking about this, and a lot of them were words that we just heard from the fans, on whether it's on Twitter or here on the chat. Even your word, annoyed, one of the words that came to my mind. But the overarching feeling is really, I'm disappointed. I really thought that this team was ready to take that step. The thing is, the Chiefs, yes. Do they have the championship pedigree? Yes. Are they right now the number one seed in the AFC? Yes. But we knew coming in, they were not playing their best football, and it didn't look that daunting. And the fact is, what we saw from the Chiefs on Sunday was exactly what we thought we were going to see from the Chiefs. Save for an opening scripted drive where they made the Dolphins defense look like butter and they were the hot knife, the Dolphins defense largely shut down the Chiefs. The Chiefs had two drives of any consequence. They scored touchdowns on both of those drives, but at the end of the day, the Dolphins defense held them to 14 points. And this game was Miami's for the taking. And it's not that Miami could have won or had opportunities to win or had opportunities at the end of the game to tie it or potentially win, you know, in spite of not playing well in the first half. The plain and simple fact of this is that the Miami Dolphins should have won this football game. The Miami Dolphins were the better team, to be perfectly honest. Now, I understand that part of being the better team is finishing the job, getting the job done. The results matter. It's a loss in the loss column for the Dolphins, and it's a win for the Chiefs. And at the end of the day, that's all anybody's going to remember about this game, is that the Chiefs got the win. Therefore, right now, the Chiefs are the better team, and that's all fair. But watching this football game, the Miami Dolphins should have won this game. But they didn't. And there were several reasons why, which we'll get into. You know, and it's not just one person. It's not just two people. It's a litany of factors that went into it. But it was mostly self-inflicted. And that's the most disappointing thing, is that this team can get to where they want to be. And you can see the pathway. You can see the talent. And there's still time. But at that same point, at some point, you've got to just say, I'll believe it when they do it. Because whether you were one of the people that believed in them going into the Buffalo game, because a lot of Dolphins fans believed in Miami going into the Buffalo game, that was going to be the statement game. Then after licking their wounds and having two games against really bad teams where they looked impressive and they looked to clean some things up, they said, you know what? We're ready for this Philadelphia team. Philadelphia just got beat. You know, they don't look that strong. And they kind of kicked your butt a little bit. And Miami had their opportunities in that one. There were a lot of things going. It was an uphill battle between injuries and playing the officials and, you know, still having to beat the Eagles on their home turf. That it was a very uphill battle, but they lost that game. This time, neutral site, no excuse. And you just didn't come out prepared. They just did not look like they were prepared mentally for this football game. And that is extremely disappointing, because at the end of the day, you could have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have it between the ears, this is going to happen over and over and over again. And we're getting to the point where this has happened over and over and over again. So at some point, you have to wonder, maybe this team just doesn't have it in them at this point. And this team is built to win this season and next season, but mostly this season. So they better figure it out. But it feels like, as you said, that a few weeks from now, we're going to be coming down the home stretch of this season. And there is a really, really large chance that the difference between the Miami Dolphins having a bye in the first round of the playoffs and hosting every round of the playoffs in at the Hard Rock, that the difference between that and having to win difficult road playoff games is going to be this game. And that's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, let's see what some other folks had to say. What their pulse checks were. Let's see. Douglas Potter is pissed. Sean Siglinger, sad. Adam Pullman, disappointed. Kelly Livingstone, just WTF. Greg Gattolaro is frustrated. Danny Salonzo says, blah. Mike Sinsabaugh says, next. Dan Janhunen, Janunen says, half and half. Yeah, I think those are all valid things to be feeling as part of your pulse check here. Oh, and J.M. Santos coming in. We love J.M. Santos. Downtrodden. Yeah, I think these are all fair things to feel. So here we are. There it is. Brain, pretty frustrating morning for the Dolphins. And but, you know, you got to look at the game and you got to look at some of the things involved. And I guess if we're going to talk about it, let's start at the very, very end, because as we said, despite everything that happened, the Dolphins were still in with a chance right there at the end of the game, right? They still had the opportunity to tie the game late on and just missed on that opportunity. The understanding is that it was a miscommunication between Tua and Cedric Wilson on the third down pass. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, whether that it was a miscommunication or, I mean, it had the classic look of Tua was going for the pass that he was expecting, but then saw that Cedric Wilson was doing something else. And so tried to change up in the middle. And the result was a pass that looked horrible. And then you've got the snap on fourth down. And this is the thing that kills me when you want to talk about annoying. Whether you want to say it was a bad snap, it was not a great snap. Whether you want to say Tua should have fielded the ball anyway, he should have. He didn't, but he should have. But if that snap is fielded cleanly, the Dolphins are tying the game because they had exactly the look that they wanted on that play. Jalen Waddle was wide open in the middle of the field, completely roasted his man. All Tua has to do is field that snap. And all the offensive line needs to do is just basically just get a little bit of a block on, and the Dolphins win the game. So frustrating. You can blame whoever you want to blame. That's one of those moments where I said at the beginning of that drive, I said, here's the thing. This is one of those moments where you find out who the good teams are. If you're one of those great teams, you find a way to win that game, man. And we've watched how many times throughout the years. I kept thinking this is going to be a same old Dolphins kind of game because the offense got themselves back into the game. The defense played well long enough to allow the offense to get back in. And then the same old Dolphins way for that game to end would be for the defense to finally let the offense down right at the end of the game. But the defense held up their end of the bargain. They never did it, right? It was like, oh, here we go. The Dolphins had this 8-minute drive results in no points. So what that means is that the Chiefs are now going to do what they need to do to break down the defense, and the Dolphins are never going to get the ball back. And then the defense forced them into a 3-and-out. Yes, they got an assist by the by the one of the most boneheaded play calls on third down and one that I can think of from the Kansas City Chiefs. But whatever, you also played brilliantly on that play to shut it down, to give the ball back to your offense. But then the offense gets the ball back and they don't do anything with it. I mean, they moved down the field beautifully. Suddenly the outside run was working perfectly for the Dolphins on those 40 yards and two plays by Raheem Mostert. And then you get down there and for some reason decide to pass. And it falls apart and you fall short and you lose. You can blame it on Tua choking. You can blame it on the head coach, but brain either way, in an opportunity to come up big, in spite of as bad as you had played earlier, you had the opportunity to come up big at the end and you blew it.
Definitely. And look, we've done a lot of like glossing over. We've tried to make mention of it on every podcast about, you know, Tua has looked great. There's that one or two throws in every game where you kind of question and you're like, oh man, like what is that? And it's really ugly. But by and large, you take it because for like the dude's been pretty outstanding all season long. And I thought for the most part in this game, in spite of not really putting up points, I actually thought Tua was playing a pretty solid game. I thought he was on point. I thought the windows that he was throwing into were extremely tight. I think in a couple of instances, he wasn't being helped out by his offensive line. He wasn't being helped out by his receivers, but in the second half of the game, they started getting things going. The disappointing thing, I mean, look, you gotta catch the ball. Like, you can't drop that snap. We've sat here and we've bemoaned Connor Williams for the bad snaps, but a snap that hits the quarterback in the hands on the biggest play of the game, like, that's not Connor Williams' fault. I'm sorry. And,
yeah,
not that it would have mattered. I don't think that Tua is picking that ball up and doing anything with it, but it would have been nice to see him try, because in that situation on 4th and 10, falling on the ball is like giving up.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to try for the Hail Mary, the gadget play. In this situation, your Hail Mary is trying to pick up that ball, evade a sack, and do something with it.
Right.
Because falling on the ball is the surefire you just lost the football game. And granted, I don't think it would have mattered. I don't think that Tua was going to pick that ball up and do anything with it. I think there was probably a greater chance that if he tries to do that, that Kansas City, you know, picks up the ball and ends up with a defensive touchdown. And this ends up being a 28-14 game. But if that happens, so be it. At least you're trying until the very end. You're not giving up. And it showed a little bit of a lack of awareness. And it looked like, and like people are going to say this all week, and I'm sure they've been saying it all morning. I don't listen to the talk radio nonsense, but I'm sure that a bunch of people have already talked about that the moment looked too big for Tua. Because frankly, the moment looked too big for Tua. You want to know why he dropped that ball? In my opinion, that was just a straight up choke job. He saw the defense like he would in any play. He knew what he wanted. He saw that they were going to bring pressure. He knew where he wanted to go with the ball, but his brain moved faster than his hands. He did not see the ball in. When your thought process gets screwed up because of the moment, that is the epitome of choking. That is the definition of choking. So this doesn't mean that Tua is going to choke every single time he's in that situation, but he absolutely choked. And the Dolphins as a whole in this game choked. Going into, you know, the last play of the first half, 14-0 after allowing the Chiefs to go down 95 yards and score a touchdown because the offense literally just could not stay on the field. And eventually Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were able to figure it out, and you know, the Chiefs got something going. But now you have an opportunity to end the half and cut into that lead and put points on the board and really put 6 on the board, and you're moving right down the field. And your best player fumbles the ball. It just can't happen. These things cannot happen. And they get glossed over, you know, when you give up, you know, a bunch of, when you turn the ball over a bunch against the Giants, you give up a pick six, and you still win the game by two touchdowns. You think, ah, well, it's no big deal. We had a couple of bad plays against the Giants. We'll clean that up. When you have, you know, a special teams gaffe and you give up a kickoff return for a touchdown against the Broncos, but you score 70 points and you win the game by 50 points, that stuff gets swept under the rug. When Tua throws, you know, one of those stupid interceptions every game, but you still win the game by 10 to 15 points. All right, whatever. You can live with it. But when it happens against good teams, it's the difference between winning and losing the game. And these are things that are not just happening against the good teams. It's just costing them the games when they play the good teams. They're happening every week. But when it happens against the Chiefs, when it happens against the Eagles, when it happens against the Bills, you are losing those games. So it's not really fluky. It's happening over and over again, and these things need to be cleaned up. And you think that they have it in them to clean these things up because they're all self-inflicted. They're all very easily correctable. But at some point, you know, when does it just become, well, that's who they are? I hope this isn't who they are. We'll find out as the season goes on. But we still have so much more to get into about what happened wrong in this football game. And I'm just focusing right now on that play with Tua. But Let's get into it.
Let's get into the first half. Because you feel like in the first half, The game was lost in the first half. That's where the Dolphins lost the game. It's plain and simple. There are three things that you've sort of zeroed in on that you think are the reason that the Dolphins were bad in this first half. So let's just get into it. Brain, give us the three reasons the Dolphins lost this game in the first half.
The biggest reason that the Dolphins lost this game in the first half was play calling. Mike McDaniel had some good play calls. It's not like every play call was a bad play call. But it was very apparent after about two drives that the Kansas City Chiefs had done their homework and they said, the Dolphins are going to try to run the outside zone. They're going to try to get to the edge. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk guys down into the box, not to create, you know, to attack gaps in the middle. We're going to walk guys down specifically on the edge so that the Dolphins don't have enough guys to block us on the edge so that we can stop the outside zone. And it worked every single time. The only times that the Dolphins had any success running the ball to the outside were runs to wide receivers. When you have Tyreek Hill lined up as a running back in the backfield and you give him the ball to the outside, when you have a double reverse or an end around, these were the only successful running plays that the Dolphins had to the outside, and they were consistently not working, and they were consistently putting themselves in second and third and long. Now, if you want to say, well, hey, the first dozen or so plays are scripted, they were trying to commit to that game plan for a couple of drives, okay. The defense did such a good job in this game to keep this game script under control to where it was 7-0 for the vast majority of the first half. And you had so many opportunities to have drives for the Dolphins to never run the ball up the middle or between the tackles for the entire first half of the game is an abject failure when it comes to play calling. They played completely scared. They didn't play completely scared. They coached completely scared. Mike McDaniel called a very scared game. I don't know how much of it is because the Dolphins were playing their backup guards. You did get Connor Williams back, but he coached that game and he called that first half like he was terrified and had no feel at all that the Dolphins could run the ball for any sort of success on up the middle. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Is that they didn't have to. Because if you run the ball up the middle just a few times, like they did in the third quarter in this game, even when you don't have a ton of success, you force the other team to at least respect that that's part of your arsenal. And that opens things up on the edge so that you can start to have success running the ball outside. But continuing to run the same plays on the outside when it was not working and not trying something different, that's insanity, right? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I thought this was a really poorly planned game in the first half. The second thing, I think, Teron Armstead came back into this game, and Teron Armstead did not have a good game. He did miss a block on a really key third down in the middle of the field where Mike McDaniel actually had a great play call on a third and long where they did kind of the draw shovel pass to Savon Ahmed, and all Teron Armstead needed to do was block his man. And Savon Ahmed has about a 20-yard gain, and the Dolphins are cooking with a chance to tie that football game up. And it also happened a couple of times where the Chiefs brought pressure from the edge. And now this, like, granted, I think ultimately it comes down, it's Teron Armstead's fault, but I'm willing to hear from other people about, you know, maybe this is the quarterback or the center, whoever's calling the protection, to understand that if that blitzer's coming from the outside, that Teron Armstead needs to, that's his assignment. But I know, watching back, Teron Armstead's assignment should not have been to double the guy with the left guard when there's a free rusher coming from the outside. And that happened multiple times. So I think, you know, my inclination is that's probably Armstead's fault, and that probably just a little bit of rust, but bad time to have that. And then the last thing is, aside from Tua, which we already covered, you got a bad game from Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had a big drop in the first half on what would have been a first down that put the Dolphins in field goal range. And then the biggest play of the game was the fumble by Tyreek Hill at the end of the first half, which was at the very least, you know, gave the Chiefs 7 points. But realistically, was at least a 10-point swing and very potentially a 14-point swing in a game that you ended up losing by 7 points. The Dolphins lost this game because not of one person, but their head coach called a bad first half. Their star left tackle played a bad game. Their star wide receiver played a bad game. And their franchise star quarterback, although played a solid game for the majority, did not come through in the clutch.
Yeah, and it's a couple of games now where Tyreek has had a couple of big drops. He had that big drop in the Eagles game that probably changes the course of that game. Would have been a touchdown. Had a big drop, couple drops in this game as well. I mean, so it's, and again, it's not a, I'm blaming you for the loss, but it's in a game where things are not going right when you're already playing a sloppy game. You have, and in those big games, we already know that when you're up against the toughest of competition, you have to, your margin for error is naturally just much smaller. And the Dolphins have shown at this point in time that they are incapable of overcoming those kinds of mistakes against the best competition. Yeah, you can afford to make those mistakes. You can fall down 14 to nothing against the Carolina Panthers and come back and win the game comfortably, and it never feels like a question. But you were also went down by 14 points against the Eagles. You've now also gone down by 14 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's three of the last four games. The Dolphins have found themselves trailing by 14 points in the first half of a game. And that is not something that you can find yourself doing very often if you want to be successful long term, because you're putting yourself in tough situations. So the narrative continues. And I know that there are a lot of Miami Dolphin fans out there that are sick to death of hearing this narrative that the Miami Dolphins always lose against the best teams, and they haven't won any games against teams with winning records. Well, if you are sick and tired of that narrative, here's what I have to say to you. You're gonna have to deal with it until they prove otherwise. And kind of that's where we are. What we have seen from this Dolphins team is when they go up against the toughest opposition, teams with big physical defensive fronts, that the way that this team is constructed, it takes them a while to figure out how to make their adjustments. And whether that's the head coach being stubborn, whether it's the offensive line just not being able to adapt quickly enough, whatever it is, the Dolphins struggle against teams with big physical fronts. And thus far, it has set them back in those games. Now, so you're going to hear that, you're going to continue to hear that narrative, and people are going to continue to talk about it. And why are they going to continue to talk about it? Because it's true. We live in a sports information or news information landscape where people are on 24/7. And whether it's talking heads like us on the internet, whether it's people on NFL Network, whether it's Colin Cowherd, whether it's Mike Greenberg or whoever it is, they're looking for stuff to talk about. And when it's cut and dry the way it is for the Dolphins in this situation, where you're 0-3 against teams with winning records and 6-0 against teams with losing records, it's not difficult to take that and talk about it. And they're going to continue to talk about it. And the fact is that it's true. It's all true. Now, what I can say is that the fact that the Dolphins haven't beaten a team with a winning record doesn't mean that they can't. It just means that they haven't yet. So they've still got something to prove, and they're going to need to prove it eventually. And yes, I know you can go out there and you can say somebody will hold up, well, the 1999 Rams, who the Dolphins are always being compared to, went through the entire regular season and did not once beat a team with a winning record until they got to the playoffs. They lost against the teams with the winning records, and they expected that they would get to the playoffs and they would lose and fold like a house of cards when they got to the playoffs, right? And guess what? They didn't. They went on to win the Super Bowl. So the Dolphins will do that too. Well, let me tell you, maybe they will. Maybe they will. And if they do, wouldn't that be wonderful? But the fact is, the national media is not going to give the Dolphins that kind of credit until they prove that they deserve it. And Mike McDaniel said as such in his post-game press conference. Like, they're not deserving of respect just because they should be. You know, just because they beat a bunch of teams with losing records, that doesn't mean they necessitate that respect. You have to go out there and earn it. And the Dolphins haven't earned it yet. And that's frustrating. And it is what it is. But you're going to have to deal with it because it's true until they can go out there and prove otherwise. But Brain, you've got something that you would like to say to the Miami Dolphins fan base right now.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or at least a certain segment of it.
Well, here's the thing that's annoying. The cockiness of Dolphin fans when this franchise has done nothing but disappoint you for your entire, like, first off, let me say this. I don't know this for sure, but it feels like the cocky Dolphin fan are of a certain generation, a younger generation. I could be wrong on that. If that's the case, this is the generation that should be the least cocky, because they've literally never seen their team be good. And they have no reason to ever believe that their team is good until the team actually proves that they can be good. Let's remember, this team hasn't won a playoff game since January of 2001.
That's 22 years in counting.
Yeah. But even if you're not of a younger generation, even if you're of an older generation, well, then you've actually watched this longer. You've actually seen the decline of a team. You've actually seen teams that can win a Super Bowl and done it. And then you've seen teams that people thought could win and that have turned out to be pretenders. And you've seen that a lot from the Dolphins. And then you've also seen a lot of Dolphins teams that were supposed to be good and then weren't even close. I don't understand the cockiness of the Dolphin fan who came into this game. Like, I understand the excitement of what this game would have meant if you beat the Chiefs. And saying, man, if we beat the Chiefs, all these things, all the possibilities, man, we could be coming out of the bye. We're playing all these bad quarterbacks. We could be 12-2. I get it. I get it. But first off, you got to beat the Chiefs first. When you haven't beaten a good team in God knows how long, you failed now. Now to still be cocky, to still feel like, well, the truth is we outplayed them. We just beat ourselves. If we just correct these things, you know, then all is good and we'll figure it out. And to have this supreme confidence, it's just beyond me. Like, this is literally the argument. This is the same. Like, you don't learn. You don't learn. It's always, well, if this happened, you know, if Tyreek Hill doesn't fumble that ball, if Tua doesn't drop that snap, you know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And as we saw last year, this team never wants us to have a Merry Christmas. No matter how much we want to have a Merry Christmas, this team doesn't want us to have a Merry Christmas. And I'm not trying to be a Scrooge as we're on the precipice of the holiday season and Josh is already in the holiday season.
Christmas tree is up, baby.
The Christmas tree is up. But I need to see this team prove it before I get any kind of cocky. Like, frankly, they could have won that game and I'd feel really good, but there'd still be part of me that's waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, where's this team going to screw it up? Like, and now that we've lost that game and we're 6-3 and you come out of it and the issue isn't the defense anymore for the moment. The issue is the offense. That the offense can't produce when they play good defenses. Well, you've got some good defenses coming up. Two of those games are against the Jets. And I know that a lot of people have been sleeping on the Jets because Aaron Rodgers got hurt and Zach Wilson sucks. And that may be true. But the Jets were a 500 team last year. And they're better this year with or without Aaron Rodgers. And if this team cannot get the offense going against good defenses, they could easily lose that game against the Jets. And the Jets have a really soft schedule. And so I don't want to hear about how, well, the Bills are choking. You know, whatever. This division is not over. This is going to be a dogfight. And at this point, I'm tired of looking at the rest of the schedule and saying, the Dolphins are going to win this game, this game, this game, and this game. Okay, prove it. And then at the end of the day, when you get to, if you get to 11-3, you get to, you know, whatever it is, and you play the Ravens and the Cowboys and the Bills at the end of the season with a chance to not just win the division, but to really put yourself in a strong playoff position, prove it. Because I'm tired of buying in and just believing in this team when all they have done over and over and over again is giving me reasons not to believe in them. So I'm sorry to be a Scrooge, and I'm not trying to tell you how to fan. You do you. But it irks me. Just know that it irks me.
It's a long way to go. But yes, I would never knock anybody for being confident in your team. But there are certain people out there who are, you know, and then they're going to come back and they turn around. Well, but the Bills fans said, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't care, man. Knock it off. Knock it off. Let's just go out there and win a game. Win one of these games. That's all. I just want my team to do well, you know? But so many, you know, I feel like a lot of Dolphin fans have an inferiority complex because their team has been inferior for a long time. This Miami Dolphins team has been inferior for years and years and years. And there are so many people who feel like this is our opportunity. We're finally good. Well, guess what? We look good now. But again, as I said in the last episode of the show, what was it, 2001, the last time this team started 6-2? Where did that team end up, Brain?
Was that the team that missed the playoffs?
9-7, missed the playoffs. So
last year, 8-3.
Last year they were 8-3. They made the playoffs, but you know, by the skin of their teeth. So by all means, be confident. I'm not telling you to panic. I'm not telling you to, again, the walls are not caving in. There's a long way to go. I would still rather be a fan of the Dolphins than almost any other team in the league. You know, there are a lot of teams out there that whose fans would gladly swap places with a fan of the Dolphins. But again, long way to go, a lot to prove, and they haven't proven anything yet other than the fact that we can beat up on teams that are less than us. So that's kind of where I'm at with this team right now. And so it was disappointing. I'm annoyed, frustrated, pissed off, whatever you want to say. We're going to sit on it. We're going to simmer on this for a while. Because now the Dolphins are going to simmer on it because we're going into the bye week. And we come back from the bye week. And listen, there's plenty of good news. Four of your next five are at home, right? You got a favorable stretch of schedule coming up. I think this is in the preseason predictions. The Dolphins are actually better than I predicted them to be at this point. I had them going into the bye at 5-4 because I had them losing the game to the Chargers. Everything else has been exactly as I expected it to be. So they're in good shape, but they've still got to go out there and they've got to prove it and they got to take care of business. And hopefully they can bounce back and hopefully they can figure out a way to deal with these games against, tougher opposition. And they can, and here's the thing. And again, this is the thing that's annoying, because they are getting better. Like if you look at those three games, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and the Chiefs, they have gotten better in each of those games. And so maybe the next step is they go and they win that game against tough opposition down the line. Because let me tell you, Jets are out there and the Jets look like a team that could be something to worry about. I mean, as we are live on Monday night recording it, the Jets are down 14-0 at home to the Chargers. But spoiler alert, the Jets are out there and the Jets have a very soft schedule. So if the Jets can figure some things out on offense with that legit defense that they have, the Jets are a team that you might have to reckon with. And let me tell you what, you're not hearing a lot of conversation about it in our circles because the conversation has been Dolphins, Chiefs, Dolphins, Chiefs, Dolphins, Chiefs. Right now, the team that looks like they might be the best team in the National Football League also resides in the AFC, and they play in Baltimore. The Baltimore Ravens look legit. And let me tell you, I mean, if you just want to look at what they've done at home in their last two games against reasonably good teams in the Detroit Lions and Seattle Seahawks, that the Dolphins play in Baltimore later this season. That does not look like a matchup that many people are going to enjoy from a Dolphins perspective at this point. So, like I said, long way to go, lot to prove, and hopefully they can right the ship and they can prove it. So real quick, before we wrap up, want to give you just a little announcement about scheduling things. We are going to be back on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel tomorrow for the Dolphins Talk staff roundtable. So it'll be me, the Brain, Mike, Tom, and Ian sitting down giving our thoughts on the first half of the season. So there will be plenty of positive talk there, be a little bit of negative talk as well. There will not be a Thursday show this week because there is not a game to preview this week. And then we will be back again next week with a preview of the Raiders game. I think we probably will not have a show at the beginning of the week. Maybe we will. We'll talk about it. We might have the show on Monday. And then I am actually traveling in the last half of next week again, so it might be the Brain and special guest coming in for the Raiders preview show, because I will be once again on the road traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday and getting out ahead of that. So, anyway, that's a little programming note for you. But we will be back again tomorrow on the Dolphins Talk Staff Roundtable. So we hope that you will follow along and join us for there. So again, subscribe to the Dolphin Suck YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter or on X, which is at twitter.com. I'm Amplified to Rock. He's Aaron the Brain. Show is at Samuel Dolphins. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at Amplified to Rock. And the show is on Blue Sky. Same old Dolphins. Maybe we'll get Aaron the Brain on Blue Sky at some point. Who knows? If you would like to get on Blue Sky, holler at me and I'll send you an invite code. Happy to do that for you. The Jets are on the board. It's now 14-3. But yeah, follow along. We appreciate everybody for listening, who's watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, the Dolphin Suck YouTube channel. Everybody's listening in podcast form. We thank you very much for following along with us. Again, smash that like button. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for being part of it. We're frustrated. All of us are frustrated right now. But again, long way to go. And hopefully things will turn around. Turn around, bright eyes. Because every now and then I fall apart. So do the Dolphins, because they're the same old Dolphins until they're not. Take care of yourselves and each other, and as always, go Dolphins!
It was a moldy bagel performance.